They say laughter's the best medicine. Well, consider this your booster shot. You are now listening to the three funniest guys I know.
All right, welcome everybody. Here we are. We're live in Las Vegas, huh, Mike?
Well, two of us are.
Yep. One of us couldn't make it.
Yeah, he couldn't or he wouldn't.
I agree, wouldn't. Hey, Tim.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Hey, I just want to do a quick bite check. Can you guys hear me?
You're a little quiet.
Hey, how about, can you hear this?
Yeah, I dig it.
Say goodbye to Mr. Donald Trump. End of the road. Good day.
Oh, my God, dude. Why do I feel like it's Groundhog's Day?
Jeez.
Okay, Vegas 2020, so, baby.
Yep, there it is. So Mike and I are in Las Vegas. I had a work trip. We talked. We said, hey, Keith is not here. Keith's on a fire. He's fighting the good fight for the state of California. He couldn't make it. However, comma, I had work in Vegas. And I told these two that I had work in Vegas. And Mike was like, yep, I'm there. And Tim was like, yep, I'm there. And apparently one of the two thought the other one was joking.
Hey, without hesitation, I was there. The other person, I'm still confused as to what happened.
Tim, would you like to explain yourself?
I wanted to watch the election results with like-minded people.
Oh, jeez.
I don't even know where to go from here.
I didn't even know this existed. Now I gotta have it all the time. Binge-worthy.
Okay, we're going to do a binge-worthy topic here. Everybody that's listened to any episodes on the show knows what binge-worthy means, but it's basically something we just realized existed, and it's now something we can't live without. I'll start it off. I got a binge-worthy topic, Mike. It's called King-Size Suites in Las Vegas. So we are currently recording this show from Mike's King-Size Suite that he purchased on, what, Expedia or something?
On Hotels.com.
Hotels.com. I'm sitting here in what is the living room of Mike's hotel room. And here's the thing. I booked my hotel room like a month ago. And I booked a king-size room. And my room was more expensive than yours. You booked yours like, what, 2 or 3 days ago?
I think on Monday or Tuesday. I have a saying. If you're gonna be a king, you have to live like a king.
And we are. Mike's got a living room, a kitchen, a laundry room, a bathroom, and his king-size bedroom is bigger than my entire room that I booked, and he spent $30 a night less than I did. So I booked a month early. Mike booked like 3 days ago, and what I'm telling you is, I guess if you're going to Vegas, don't book till like two nights out.
Hotels.com. They'll be our next sponsor.
Yeah. Hashtag not a sponsor. But if you're gonna get a hotel, I guess what you do is just wait till 2 or 3 days out, and then you can get yourself a king suite. I'm not kidding. This thing's got to be 1,300 square feet.
No, it's not. I'd give it 11.
1,100 square feet. Well, my room's like 500 square feet.
Well, it's, you know, not everybody could be a star, Josh.
This isn't a tomato-tomato scenario, Mike. Like, I bought the same... I'm paying $30. We're in the same hotel. I'm two floors above you.
Well, I have noisy neighbors, if that matters.
So do I.
Oh,
if that matters.
I think you forgot to bring up my bathtub. So, I haven't had a bath in years, just because I have a small California bathtub.
Because you don't bathe?
You got to do it at least once a week. But it's usually in form of a shower, but I was able to take two baths in the last 3 days. And Josh kind of gave me crap for that. Why? I don't understand.
You took a bath.
Twice.
And you're a man.
Yeah.
Well, that's questionable after you took a bath.
It was fantastic.
Tim, you want to weigh in on baths as an adult?
I love a bath with some Epsom salts.
There you have it.
Why'd I know? Yeah, this is also the guy that isn't here right now, Mike, so...
Yeah, if you were here, Tim, you could sleep on my sofa bed, But you're not taking a bath in my bathtub.
I am actually sorry that I'm not there. I always think about like Vegas trips with the guys, like gambling and drinking and like wrestling in the hotel room. And I wish I was there.
There'd be no wrestling.
Yeah.
If you want to wrestle, you go to Josh's room. And he has two queen beds and you jump from bed to bed.
No.
And then you choke slam each other.
No.
With either your hand or some other body part.
No, I don't.
Why are you saying no? Why are you saying no like a weirdo, Josh? You and I have wrestled so many times. You're like, oh, take your shirt off. Let's wrestle. I'm like, that's fine.
We don't choke slam each other with quote unquote other body parts.
Do you guys have tickle fights?
Yeah, of course we do.
Because Josh and I were up late last night talking. And he brought that up, and I thought it was strange, but, you know, I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable, so I went with it, and we had a pleasant little tickle fight.
Yeah, hey, Mike, you know what gets Josh every time is, like, right behind the kneecap, if you just go right there, he giggles so hard. He loves that.
I don't know. What do you have to say about that, Josh?
I think I'm wondering if anybody else has a binge-worthy topic. That's what I think.
Is that your tickle spot? So your binge-worthy topic is bigger hotel rooms.
It's king-size suites because if you do it 2 or 3 days out, apparently you can get it for $30 cheaper than what you get for a normal king bed.
Yeah, it might be just me, dude. I'm a straight-up baller like that.
Bold. This is bold.
I travel once every 3 years.
Yeah, and I'm like a rewards member with this freaking hotel chain, and here I am sitting in a normal room that I paid $30 more for a year. I'm expecting P. Diddy to roll in here in about 10 seconds.
He's like a lower grade.
Oh, yeah.
It's a suite, but it's not like a king suite.
Okay.
Just in case any of our listeners are wondering, like the age group of all of us on this podcast, the fact that we threw out P. Diddy for being like the celebrity that would roll into the hotel room.
Who was I supposed to say? Like Nicki Minaj or something stupid?
Travis Scott.
Travis Scott? Who's that?
I don't know. He had a special on McDonald's.
Yeah, Travis Scott had like a McDonald's Happy Meal named after him. That's how I know.
That's all I know about Travis Scott.
It was I don't know, you get like a Big Mac, fries, and something.
That's what I got today.
Travis Scott. We ate
at McDonald's. Tim, I ate at McDonald's today. And Tim knows I don't ever eat at McDonald's. I'll eat breakfast there, but this is the first time I've had lunch or dinner at McDonald's in like 6 years. I ate there.
Okay. It was your suggestion. I'm just going to throw that out.
How drunk were you?
Sober as could be.
Yeah, we were this morning. Still feeling the effects from last night.
He drank coffee with his lunch.
Yeah.
A Big Mac and coffee.
You had a reason.
That's not a good combo.
I had the Travis Scott combo of Big Mac, French fries, and coffee.
I think Travis Scott is a Sprite, just for all you listeners out there.
No, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
No, the Travis Scott meal was really a Sprite.
Wasn't Grant Hill also a Fila representative?
Yeah, buddy. There we go. Nailed it.
There you go. I believe you mentioned before that you were a Fila sporter back in your junior high basketball days.
That's because mom and dad wouldn't get me any Nikes.
I had the Grant Hill Filas because I was a big Grant Hill fan.
Hey, like if you shopped at Copeland Sports, you could get two pairs for $40.
What is that? What is Copeland Sports?
Maybe it was a California local sporting goods store, but you could get two pairs of high top Fila basketball shoes for $40 back in 1989.
What was the Travis Scott special at Copeland Sporting Goods?
No, there was no Travis Scott special. Maybe it was Reebok, because I think Reebok was headed out the door for the first time in 89.
So it was like Reebok pumps. For all you Pacific Northwest people out there, I used to shop at Big Five Sporting Goods when I was in high school.
I still shop at Big Five Sporting Goods. As I get older, I'm a big fan of the New Balance, and as I understand, they're called dad shoes, and I love them. So if you don't care for comfort, then I don't know what to tell you.
You're currently wearing Nike Air Maxes.
Okay, so story about that.
Those are your Vegas shoes?
No. My daughter used to work at Kohl's, so I got a good discount on these shoes.
Nice. But if you didn't have it, you would have gone to Copeland Sporting Goods and got yourself a nice pair of New Balances?
Copeland's been out of business since probably 1999-ish.
Hmm.
But I would have went to Big Five, got me some New Balance 819s. I just made that number up.
I feel like that's a shoe they make.
Maybe 913s.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, do you have a binge-worthy topic that you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about states. Here's some binge-worthy states in the Continental 48. Pennsylvania and Georgia. Y'all did right by my man. So I'm going to spend the next probably 4 or 5 years of vacations just going to Pennsylvania and Georgia because we flipped it into Biden territory.
Have fun with that.
I think you should bring your mask and go work in a coal mine.
Well,
tomato. And give 75% of your paycheck up in taxes.
Give it to Texas? Is that what you said?
Anybody.
I think everybody should give their paycheck to Texas.
Josh, I told you. Before the show started, I just had a feeling this was not going to be a good episode, and we have stayed in that lane since we started rolling.
Tim, you're going to go vacation in Georgia and Pennsylvania, huh?
You damn right. Or Nevada and Arizona. Or really,
obviously, you're not going to vacation in Nevada, or else you'd be here.
Exactly.
Okay. I walked into that one, but let me just tell you, Trump got just shit on, and I think we all can celebrate that fact, right? I mean, from the three funniest guys I know, like, we're all, and just so listeners, you know, we're all fairly left-wing Democrat on this podcast.
Wow, that's a statement.
All you mean half.
Actually, if people want the truth, and it's coming from me, so you know it's the truth, because I'm the only one that tells the truth on this thing.
Wait a minute. I'm calling time out.
Wait, yeah.
I've been truthful with 99% of two-thirds of the shit I say.
Thank you for that. I'll continue. We'll continue. If you want to know the truth, we have a... Actually, we're pretty fairly well represented. We have two on the left, two on the right, I kind of feel like. But I'm real moderate. Like, I lean into the middle quite a bit. You're more right than I am. Tim's... Left, Keith's left.
I don't like playing left or right. I want what's best for the people.
I think part of this podcast though, is to celebrate life progressing.
Let me tell you a story. I got a story and a good segue for this. So here we're going to go.
It's time for some love lessons from the guys who try real hard to do it best.
Yeah, it's love lesson time, everybody. I got a story for y'all. If you
wait, hold on. Why do you always skip over me?
Huh?
I didn't get a binge-worthy fucking topic. Everything. Here's what it is.
Wait.
You let Tim go first.
Hold on.
And he ruins everything.
Okay.
That's fine. Tim, he
a week ago, a check by him. I didn't even know this existed. Now I gotta have it all the time. Binge-worthy.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Something I discovered recently, it is called Still Reserve Blue Raz beer, and I use the term beer loosely.
It's malt liquor.
It's actually malt liquor. Yeah, it's like me peoples right here in Las Vegas. If you get a chance, I believe it costs about 32 cents a can. It's like a penny per ounce. If you get the chance, use it. But if you're a normal human being. What do you guys think about TikTok? Have you guys been on TikTok?
No, my kids are
on that.
No, that tastes like... don't buy Blue Raz. It tastes like ass.
We went from Blue Raz to TikTok real quick.
I was full of crap when I said Blue Raz.
Yeah, but you're on point right now because of Blue Raz.
It was the most disgusting drink I've had in my life.
It was pretty bad. But you know what's funny, though? Is when you... So I bought this drink. I have a thing... For those of you out there that don't know me, I have a thing in my like fun prank is to basically anytime we start drinking with somebody, to make them drink like the worst possible drink known to man, so like some pineapple flavored Four Loko or something. So we went into a store and I bought 2 24-ounce blue raspberry steel reserves for Mike and I to start our drinking today. And he took a sip of his first one. And the first words out of his mouth, which made me laugh, were, quote, unquote, you know, this isn't really that bad. And I just started cracking up because I knew it was coming. He barely choked down the rest of those 22 ounces. Like, I thought he was gonna have to take a timeout. And
it took me 6 hours to finish the rest of the beer.
It did take a long time.
It was horrible. Don't Don't spend your hard-earned money on that, especially since the liberals are going to be taking most of that in tax.
But true to form, I told him he couldn't drink anything until he finished the other whole blue raspberry, and it took him 2.5 hours, but yeah, he's on beer two now.
I respected the rule, and I hated every second of it. But going back to TikTok, do either one of you guys watch TikTok?
No.
Like, if you don't have free time on your hands, don't watch TikTok. But if you got like an hour or two to burn, it might be the best creation on the planet.
TikTok?
TikTok.
No thanks.
Watch it. Like, give it a try.
I'm out. Tim, do you do TikTok?
No, I don't do TikTok, but I do have another binge-worthy topic.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, and all joking aside, it's true binge-worthy. So, do you all have Apple TV?
No.
No.
There's a show on there called Defending Jacob. This is no joke. Lindsay and I watched the first episode at like 6 p.m. last Wednesday or whatever, I think. We stayed up until 1:30 in the morning. We watched every single episode. It was amazing.
Defending Jacob?
Yeah, super good. Super good. And
I'm going to call bullshit. Because no. You can't even make it through a podcast without falling asleep.
True statement.
So I don't think you stayed up till 1:30.
You weren't up till 1:30. I agree with Mike on this.
I was, and I don't want to give anything away about the defending Jacob.
No, don't spoil it.
I know. I'm not going to give anything away, but here is a spoiler. There's a part in the show where it becomes very evident that Joe Biden would become the next president of the United States. And I just, for all you listeners out there, we're back on track, people. Biden Harris, 2021.
I think the show is called The Simpsons.
It's been on TV for
48 years.
I don't know what's going on. Okay.
Speaking of The Simpsons, is that the longest running show ever?
It's got to be.
It's been on for...
It's second behind The Price is Right.
Is it
30
really?
Plus years?
Are you BSing or do you know that?
Josh, I don't look. Have you known me to be full of shit at any point?
Almost every second that I've known you.
Well, there you have it.
Okay. Hey Tim, you want to fact check that and look it up while I'm playing the next drop?
I'm fact checking it. Yeah, go for it.
Okay, here we go.
No.
It's time for some love lessons from the guys who try real hard to do it best.
Okay.
I got it. Tim, do you have it?
Yeah. So, top three. Simpsons, 32 seasons. The first air date was December 17th, 1989. Right behind it in second place is Law and Order, which first aired September 20th, 1999. Both of those are still going. Behind that was Gunsmoke, which was... September 10th of 1955 to 1975.
Those must be primetime shows. Because you got to figure there's been some soap operas that have been around forever. Maybe like General Hospital.
I'm wondering how long Price is Right has been on.
What about Days of Our Lives? Days of Our Lives has been on for a while, right? Oh, you know what else was the longest running television show? In fourth place was the 2020 election results. That was number four.
Yeah. It'll soon take over number one as we get into this lawsuit. 1963 was the first episode from House Price Right. So that's got to be like primetime stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into the love lesson topic that originally was brought up here. Does anybody have any burning love lesson topics they want to bring up, or do I need to go?
Josh and I stayed up till 4 a.m. talking about relationships.
True statement.
Yeah, I've never felt more like a liberal in my entire life.
Really?
What the fuck did you all talk about in regards to relationships?
Yeah, hey, Tim, if you were here,
you
know.
Should have probably come to Vegas if you wanted to know.
I know, but just fill me in. Give me some cliff notes.
No, there was just a lot of bonding. There was a lot of closeness.
I was 15 rum and cokes in, and 28 beers, and
there were exactly zero choke slams.
And my feet fell asleep at one point.
Did at any point did either of you start to cry?
I thought Josh was at the same time simultaneous. I don't cry. I think Josh was headed down that road, and that's when I kicked him out of my place.
Okay, first of all, I'm not a big crier at all. However, what What movie brings you to tears, Mike?
I'd have to think on that one.
Free Willy. Only movie I've ever cried at. I was 12. When he jumped over the kid at the end, fucking waterworks.
That's between you two. I've never seen it.
Field of Dreams brought me to tears.
God, I'm about to chokeslam you.
Hey, have you guys seen a movie? It came out a couple years ago. It's called The Art of Racing in the Rain.
Oh, I've read the book. I read.
You ruin everything, dude.
What?
I'm talking about a movie.
Sorry.
Bring up the book.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a good book and a good movie.
I was in the Regal Theater, last row. There's only four seats. I'm by myself. So it's me and three random ladies. And I am fighting back tears. And I look over and these three ladies are sobbing. And then like my vision got blurry. I don't know what happened.
Tim, you? Any tearjerkers?
No, like I said, yeah. Field of Dreams. Like that at the end scene, we was like, hey, Dad, want to have a catch? I'm like, fuck, yes, I want to have a catch. I call up my dad every time. I'm like, Dad, you want to have a catch? He's like, I'm tired. You got work in the morning. I'm like, I love you, Dad.
Hey. Wait. Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb here because we don't have any listeners, so he's probably not listening. But Papa Pell, if you're out there, I'm going to back you on this one. I think that's bullshit, Tim.
I'm going to tell you something. Papa Pell was great at having catches when I was a kid. Also, when we used to play basketball, you could never beat him one-on-one because that was back in the day when I love him. But this motherfucker would smoke a cigarette on the basketball court. And, like, you could never really body him up because you were, like, getting that getting ash in your eye and shit. It was bad.
That's great. Again, I feel like I'm not a fan. Hey, Papa Pell, I know you're listening. Not a fan of what's going on right now.
Oh, no. Papa Pell would be the first to tell you that, yep, smoked cigarettes when I used to play with my kids one-on-one basketball.
Yeah, and he'd also throw in that he beat you by 26 in a game to 21. But, like, I think that Papa Pell, we need to defend his honor. And what I'm telling you is this. That man would not play catch with you when you're your current age, which is 40, which is super old. But he played with you all day when you were young. I know he did.
Yeah, he did. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about last week when I watched that movie and I got a little teared up. And I said, Dad, you want to have a catch? And he's like, listen, you don't bother me right now. This is my alone time. I'm watching Law and Order. This is like, yeah, it went downhill quick.
Yeah.
And by the way, shit-tard, I'm not 40.
You're 39, you're right. You turned 40 in May?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
There you go. That's what friends are for.
Mike, how old are you?
I feel the need to step in and say 40 is not that bad.
Okay. It says the person is closer to 50 than 40. Yeah.
I have some life experience. Let's put it that way.
You're a spry chicken. And that's what we're going to write when we create your Plenty of Fish account.
That's what I'm saying. Spin your words.
That's what we're going to do. So Tim and I, we have a way with words. We have, I forget how they say it, good with the tongue. So we're going to write Mike's Plenty of Fish account. We're going to make it up for the next episode.
Mm. Good with the tongue. They call that the Kibben method.
The Kibben method?
I'm hoping you guys get Mike Laid.
Huh?
I said I'm hoping you guys get Mike Laid.
That's not the point of a dating website, Mike.
Oh, it's not?
No, we had this conversation last night. Remember 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning?
It's kind of blurry.
We had a good conversation about...
I had a lot of rum and coke.
How is the point of a dating website not to get laid? I don't understand that.
It's not to get laid.
What's it for?
It's to meet your future wife. That's why Forever Cali Girl's not on there anymore. She met her husband.
Oh, okay. Well, since you brought that up. So we picked two girls for me to send a message to. One was Forever Cali Girl, who I found attractive. Apparently, I'm the only one who found attractive, but she lived nearby. And I could not find her to send her a message. She apparently either found love or just disappeared, gave up on the website. And then the second one was Amy. And I sent her a message and I included, like, hey, I'm a major effing star of a podcast and we discussed you. And she never reached back out. Like, what kind of woman, like, hey, this podcast is about you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't pique her interest.
So, Mike, two questions. You said effing. So, like, one, do we need to start saying effing? Because I'll check myself on that.
No.
Second is, when you get to a certain age, when you get to a certain age, of course a dating website is about having sex. Like, if I'm
No, that's Tinder.
God forbid.
That's
if something happened to my wife, God forbid, and I found myself on a dating website, it's not like I'm like, hey, I really just want to get to know somebody, like the true person, the inner you. No, yeah. Fuck that. Are you good in the bed? Can you make a sandwich? Do you like the same movies I like? If not, then this isn't going to fucking go anywhere, sister.
You know, we don't have to like the same movies. I'll watch like any movie.
Oh my gosh. That is just a waste of so much time in your life.
Apparently you'll cry.
I tell you what, if I had a date and she came over and she was like, you know, why don't we just, let's watch Breakfast at Tiffany's. I'd be like, fuck that. And you can go back to wherever rock you crawled out underneath.
See, but here's the thing. Mike would watch Breakfast at Tiffany's and he'd tear jerk through the last half hour of it.
When you use the word jerk, what are you referring to?
You'd be crying.
Oh, okay.
It came from a very normal place, not like where your head's going.
Yeah, when I use the word jerk, I'm talking about something different.
Like somebody's a dickhead?
No, like...
somebody's doing something. Okay, 2:30. Okay. I get it. Let's.
Here's the thing.
You couldn't see that from Texas, could you?
Nope. Let's go ahead on to the next topic. So we went from binge-worthy, we went into love lessons, and then we went straight back to binge-worthy because Mike was being a little bit...
No, here's the
thing. You were being cantankerous.
Oh, yeah.
Cantankerous?
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
That's exactly what I said. It was a dinosaur in the Mesozoic period.
Where I'm from, cankerosaurus is a girl with a cold sore that you should probably stay away from, but you know.
Huh?
I'm not gonna.
I don't understand your thought process.
Cankerosaurus.
I always found those girls to be the ones that would just do the easy beach because they're so self-conscious. You'd be like, look, your face is all fucked up, but I'll let you.
You know, Tim has like a beach rating system. We've gone from teethy to easy.
The girl he just described does not use a tooth whatsoever, right?
Huh.
Am I right, Tim? They know what they're doing.
That's his way of saving himself. Okay. So let's move on. Let's talk love lessons. Let's go from canker sores straight into love lessons.
Matt, you reminded me.
Oh, Jesus. Like,
okay, this is numerous episodes in a row where I do my homework and you just skip right over.
What?
I don't get it.
I gave you binge-worthy.
Yeah, but I had to like call you out on that shit.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have a love lesson?
Like, no, I don't have a love lesson. Let's go. You guys are the love lesson.
And you're wondering
guys.
Why I skip over you.
Binge-worthy, you skipped over me. Love lesson. Love, you skip over me. Love lessons.
Okay, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you've been married 12 times, so what kind of lessons are you going to give people?
You know, I met a girl last night, so I might be number 13 soon.
Yeah, it was the blackjack dealer, right?
She dealt me 4 blackjacks in a row. How many of you out there could say that?
Seriously, Tim.
4 in a row.
Blackjacks in a row. Have you ever seen that?
I have never seen that. However, I do have a follow-up question. What sort of tip did you give her?
Oh, he tipped well. I think the last 3 he won, he gave her $5 tip.
No, I tossed a 10 out there. I gave her a good like $30. Probably,
but you gave her a really good tip. And that was to listen to the 3 Funniest Guys podcast. He actually plugged us while we were playing to...
It's not really once the again, tip that I wanted again. To give her, but it was a close second.
Once again, for the people that are just listening, you really get an understanding of like who we are from an age perspective as well as a socioeconomic perspective. So one, we want P. Diddy to come and hang out with us in the hotel room. And when we think we're nailing the tips, it's $30. And I'm going to be the first to admit, $30, I'm like, that's a good fucking amount of money.
That's a good tip.
I think so too.
She hooked it up. She was a very nice girl, and like I could probably.
But Tim, you gotta understand. Like, so Mike was playing the method on blackjack where you bet $5, and then if you win, you bet $10 next time, and if you win, you bet 15, then 20, then 25. He hit his first blackjack, I think, on 15. So then he was at 15. Then his second was at 20. Then 25. Then 30. So between these 4 blackjacks, he pulled in like $150.
I like it. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, you guys have got to go play Pai Gow tonight. Pai Gow is the game to play.
Okay, I might leave this fucking podcast early to go play Pai Gow.
Are you going
to
meet us at the table?
You damn right. I'm gonna hop in the minivan right now.
Okay. Good for you. Okay, let's keep cruising. I got a love lesson story I need to get out.
I can't wait to hear it. I'm all in. Secondly, so I have a female friend, and she said that you're funny as fuck. And I didn't agree with it, but, you know, I'll have his perspective.
What does she look like? Because Lindsay and I have been thinking
about it. You're married. Don't worry about it.
No. Trust me. I don't. Papa Bear doesn't walk out of his cave, but Papa Bear and Mrs. Bear are fine with people in the cave, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, whatever you.
I hope we hear the book getting thrown against his head in the background. Are we ready to go into love lessons?
I'm not.
Tim?
I'm ready.
You were super quiet, hey, Tim.
Yeah. Fucking fake Barry White. Let's pick it up.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you there?
Oh my gosh, Papa, can you hear me?
Papa
yes.
Bear don't leave the cave.
Yeah. Papa Bear talk real quiet.
Papa Bear don't leave the cave.
Little cub into the cave.
Little cub? What the fuck, Mike?
Oh, Papa Bear. Yeah.
Biden Harris 2020.
Oh, yeah, that's what Papa Bear says.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. We're having fun. We're
Papa
having
Bear
some.
Does a lot of hibernating on Trump. A lot of hibernating.
We're having fun. This is fun.
Okay, let's talk love lessons. Now that we've mentioned it like four times. Mike, did you have anything that I cut you off of that you felt like you needed to say?
Well, let's start the conversation, and I'll be more than happy to jump in and hit the rewind button.
Okay, good. So I'm not cutting off anything that you need to mention before we go into the next topic.
At this moment, no.
Okay, Tim, anything for you that you would like to say?
How long have we been recording? I'm so confused right now.
About 35 minutes.
But when we came back from having the beers, when did we start recording?
I just told you, 35 minutes.
Feels like 6 hours.
Papa Bear, man, needs to get his game going.
He needs to have a game of catch, apparently.
In the Seattle metro area.
Fuck no, son. I don't have time to throw the baseball right now. You're 40.
Yeah. It sounds like he's up for a
That shit still stinks. Yeah, I got a love lesson.
Okay. I'm going to throw this one out there. We're going to do another love lesson. The last time we did love lessons, I threw one out there that I didn't think was going to stick. And then y'all went, like, pretty hardcore on the Jenny Hall.
It's about
Jenny
fucking Hall? Yeah, it's about Jenny Hall again.
Yeah, you know, we're on Fremont Street last night, and there's a good chance we passed her up.
Oh, yeah.
She was wearing some stars.
Okay. You know what I mean? It's about all everybody needs to know. If you've been to Fremont, you know what Mike's talking about. Street performers and their star stickers. Yeah. So, I'll tell you a story. Hall. And this is a story about 16 and a half year old Josh. So you heard the Jenny Hall story about moving to Virginia and all that. So Josh shows up fresh off the Jenny dumping, right? Ruined my life at that moment in time. And I start school at Stonewall Jackson High School. Our mascot was actually a Confederate general. Stonewall Jackson High School.
Your high school diploma states Jackson Stonewall High School.
Yes. True statement.
Okay.
Yep. So I moved from Colorado. I kind of mentioned this. I moved from Colorado. I'm a pretty relatively big school. Moved out to Stonewall Jackson, where the rebel flag still flew pretty strong. I'll be honest. There were a lot of them. It was the first time I'd ever actually seen a rebel flag fly. And there were a lot of them there in Stonewall Jackson and Quicksburg, Virginia. You can look that up if you'd like to. There's a population of about 400 people. My senior class had, I think we started with like 97 and we graduated like 83. So if you're doing the math, 14 kids quit their senior year of high school.
That sounds about right. Yep. My first experience and only experience with a rebel flag was the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic show.
Good show.
There's some shows that shouldn't die, and that was one of them.
You think it should have outdone The Simpsons?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Price is Right, too.
So, yeah, there I am in Quicksburg, Virginia, I'm like floored. I don't know where I am. I'm not used to this scenario. And I go to school. I show up day one. I'm the new kid. So you got like the new kid shine on you. So that's kind of like an automatic bonus. Like if you're like a 7 and you're the new kid, you're actually an 8. Like you get an extra point.
Okay. What month of the year are we talking?
When did I show up? Halfway through my junior year, so it was right before Christmas break. I think it was probably like November.
Okay.
Of my junior year of high school. So I'm there. I don't know any of these people. I'm kind of floored by the whole situation. I show up to school. And again, I'm the new kid. So let's remember, if you're the new kid, you get 1 to 2 bonus points on a scale of 10, as far as looks are concerned. So I'm the new kid in a tiny little school. So that gave me about a 2-point bonus. So I went from being like an okay looking dude to being Brad Pitt overnight by being the new kid, right? So I find out that this is like, you can't make this stuff up. I find out that there was a fight in the girls' locker room over who was calling dibs on the new kid.
Nice. You know what? So you went from going, from being in love with Jenny Hall.
Yeah.
Who just had no problem sweeping you to the side. Yeah. To now girls are fighting over you.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck you, Jenny.
Yeah. Twat. Yeah.
So there I am. I hear this news. I'm like, what the hell? Well, one of the two girls, and I think the one that won it. So if you're out there, Jamie Heisman and Mary Hope Gangwer, you were the two that fought in the women's. And that's details that let you know that this story isn't made up.
Mary Hope lost?
Mary Hope Gangwer lost to Jamie Heisman.
Oh, dude, I would have picked her anyways.
Yeah. So what I went with was whoever won. And so I end up asking Jamie out on a date. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that she won the locker room fight. I actually didn't know that it took place before I asked her out. She came up to me, I guess, because she had reserved the honors via the locker room fight, right?
Who was the better looking of the two? Like, did you ask her out because, like, you thought she would say yes?
No, they were actually both pretty good-looking girls. They were, I would give them both, like, the same score, honestly. They have very differing looks.
What made you choose her out of the two?
Jamie?
Yeah.
She was the first one to come up and ask me.
Okay. Well, so she asked you. You didn't ask her.
Well, not, like, on a date, but she came up to me and, like, approached me and started talking to me first.
Okay, so she, like, made it known that she was interested.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, I would say that they were both very looking, good looking girls, in different ways. Like Mary Hope was like probably 5'8", 5'9". Jamie was 5'2". Jamie was blonde. Mary Hope was brown, curly hair, both good looking girls. So if Mary Hope had come up and talked to me first, I'd probably gone on a date with her. And if you wait till the end of the story, it probably would have been a better decision.
So, the 5'2" girl took out the 5'8" girl.
The what?
The 5'2" girl.
Yeah.
Jamie
uh-huh.
beat the snot out of.
Okay, it's not like they like bled each other's noses or anything. It's just this is all secondhand. I didn't know the fight took place. It just I heard this later.
I'm just going with physics. So you have 5'8" Mary Hope. Mary Hope.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lovely name, by the way. Uh-huh. Mary Hope. Uh-huh. I could roll with Mary Hope.
Yeah, if you're out there listening, Mary Hope, like. You're a really nice girl. I'm sure you're a great lady.
So, and Mary Hope's 5'8", and then you got Jamie who's 5'2".
Uh-huh.
And, like, for her to be 5'8", like, she was definitely interested.
What do you mean?
Like, Jamie, she took out a giant. She's 6 inches taller, and in a woman's world, 6 inches is a lot.
Yeah, but Jamie was... Jamie was a softball player, so she was, like... She was pretty strong. Stocky. She was strong.
So she had thick thighs, is what you're saying?
I'm just saying she was in good shape.
I have experience with softball girls.
Yeah, me too. I'm married to one. Katie played softball in college. Mike just gave me the look like, okay, Trump. Trump, okay. Continue, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on.
So, yeah, anyways, I found all that fighting nonsense out later. But anyways, Jamie came up and talked to me, and she said, "Hey, you know, I'm Jamie. It's nice that you're here. If you need to, like, know your way around the school or, like, know where science class is or anything else." I'm like, well, the school has, like, 10 rooms, so I'm pretty sure I can probably find my way around it. But, like, would you like to go out on a date? I'm fresh out of a burned relationship by some B-word out in Colorado. Would you like to go out and enjoy some popcorn and a movie with me?
Yeah, I have a question. Had Jenny not broken up with you, you wouldn't have any interest in Jamie.
No.
Good for you.
Jenny was my girl, man. Do we need to go back to 16-year-old Josh?
Like, I don't know how good-looking Jamie was. Because if she was really hot, that might turn a guy who's 2,000 miles away from his true love, hey, who decided to...
Hey, listen here, Mike. I'm a man of commitment, okay? I told Jenny when we left Colorado that we could do this long distance, and I meant it. All right?
Okay.
Okay. So, anyways, Jenny cut me off. But I'm now dating Jamie, right? We're going to go out on a date. So I asked her out, and I say, "Hey, do you want to go out on a date?" She goes, "Yeah, I'd love to." Okay. So let's go out on Friday. Cool. So I decide we're going to go out on Friday. I'm 16. I have a car. I can get there, right? Where do you live? I live on blah, 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 this road, right? This is in rural Virginia. It's out in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea how to get there, so I get instructions. And I was given instructions by this cow. You can't make this stuff up. I was told to turn left at a cow. And you'll know the cow because it has this really distinct mark on its back. I'm like, where the fuck am I right now? So anyways, the story was true. I did recognize the cow and I turned left. And I show up at Jamie's house to pick her up for the date. Jamie's older brother, Jonathan Heishman, was the president of the FFA squad at Stonewall Jackson High School. Do you know what FFA is, Mike?
It's a Future Farmers of America.
That's correct, sir. That man could smell a cow from 3 miles away and tell you what kind of breed it was. I don't know cow breeds. There's like a few of them, but... Anyways, yes, Jonathan was the president of FFA. He was also, he thought, the president of his younger sister's heart and honor.
Well, I wonder if he could smell your fingers from 3 miles away.
Okay, so anyways, we go there, and I go there to pick her up, and I walk up to the door, and I knock. And it's, you have to walk up some stairs to get to the door, and I knock on the door, and Jonathan answers the door. Jonathan Heishman, he's a senior in high school, he's the president of FFA, and he'll be goddamned if his sister's going to go on a date and she's going to go easy. So he opens the door, and he goes, "Hey, who are you?" And I'm like, "Come on, man, we both know that you know why I'm here." Like,
you weren't like your sister just beat the snot out of some other girl.
He knew, too. He was best friends with her older brother, Will Gangwer. They played baseball together. Uh-huh. No, he knew.
He knew what was going down.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Okay. So not only was Jonathan pissed, Jonathan was kind of in a crux position here because his younger sister beat the crap out of his best friend's younger sister for the ability to go on a date with the new kid.
The rights.
Yeah, so I'm like, "Hey, I'm here to pick up Jamie." And he's like, "Oh, yeah? You gonna take Jamie out on a date, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not here to judge cows. Is she around?" And sure enough, Jamie comes up and shoves Jonathan to the side. He's like, "Jonathan, get out of here, you know? Hi, Josh, let's go on our date." And I'm like, "Okay, great." Then I look back at Jonathan and I say, "Hey, what time do you need me to bring her home?" And he goes, "Well, her curfew's 10:30. I'm like, "All right, sounds good. I'll have her back at 10:30. And we're walking down the stairs to leave because it tells you to climb upstairs to get back. We're walking on the stairs and she's like, "Well, where do you want to go? What do you want to go to a movie or what?" You know? As we're walking down the stairs, I shit you not, you can't make this up. A 12-gauge shotgun is fired over my head. I'm about halfway down the stairs. And this is no bullshit. I turn around, and I'm like on high alert. If you've ever been around a 12-gauge shotgun, that's not a quiet sound. And I turn around, and there's Jonathan standing at the top of the stairs. And he goes, "Did I say 10:30? Maybe I meant 10. And I'm like, is this really happening? Like, this is the stuff you see in movies. What the fuck? Did you really just fire a shotgun over my head?
I thought for sure it was going to be her dad. Where's her dad in all this?
No, her dad's watching TV in the back room. Could care less. It's Jonathan. Jonathan goddamn FFA president, fucking Future Farmers of America, shooting that shit over my head, telling me to have her back at 10. And I looked at him and I go, 9:30, sounds good. Walked down the stairs, got in the car, and went on the date. So there you have it. That was my first date in Quicksburg, Virginia.
Like, this girl fought for you, and you did not fight in return.
But you want me to fight the guy with the 12-gauge shotgun?
Yeah. Just elbow him in the head, and then, like, he'll put it away.
12-gauge shotgun.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he shot me dead.
He's not going to shoot you.
That's Jonathan, I'll be damned, Future Farmer of America president.
Over his sister, he's not going to shoot you. Where's Tim?
I don't know.
I'm right here.
Did you listen to the whole story, Tim?
Of course I did.
Tim, you're my best buddy. What should I have done with Jonathan Heisman in this scenario?
As tough as I think I am, and as tough as I know you are, I just don't think you fuck with the 12-gauge.
I see.
That's all I'm saying.
Right?
You know, if it's coming from Pops, if it's coming from her dad, you don't fuck around.
Right.
But the older brother, go fuck yourself, dude.
Like Mike, literally had just fired a 12-gauge shotgun over my head.
Listen, Josh.
Have you ever been in this scenario? Josh, have you ever been caught off guard by a gun? Let alone, I don't know if anybody's ever heard it out there, but that of a shotgun is about the most intimidating sound anybody could ever hear.
I can't say that, but because I live in California, so no.
But you don't know what guns are.
Had that happen to me, we wouldn't have left the property. Like, we would have went to the car, and some shit would have happened, and then she could have went back in at 8:20.
Well, if it makes Jonathan feel any better, Jamie got home on time, but we stopped about a half mile before we got to her house and hung out for a bit in the car. Okay.
That's what's up.
And I remember I told you that Josh's right hand discovered Jenny's breast back in Colorado?
Yeah.
Well, Josh's left hand got some work that night too.
I was hoping you were going to hit with a little that's the mouth, meaning the breast.
No. Hey. No, those are future stories. Those are down the way. Josh was a pretty square kid in high school.
We're working our way towards that.
That'll get there.
Hey, what was that kid's name?
Jonathan Heisman.
Jonathan Heisman, go fuck yourself. Like, Jenny Hall, I get it. Like, hey, your guy left you, blah, blah, blah. You, Jonathan, I hope you're dead. Is that too much?
Dead?
Dead,
yeah. I mean, that might be a little extreme.
He fired a shotgun above your head.
He did.
Over a sister who fought for you.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, what are your thoughts on Jonathan Heisman?
I'm trying to Google this motherfucker right now.
There you go, Jonathan Heisman. When was this event? Let's see. I graduated then, so it would have been, this would have been like 1999. 1999, Stonewall Jackson, FFA president. There you go.
I don't know. Jonathan Heisman sounds like the name of a dude. If I was like to meet him right now, he'd be like, no, I didn't mean any harm by it. Why don't you come in my house and I'll make you some tea? And then he shows me like a fucking collection of like Pez dispensers.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jonathan.
Jonathan. I like the Godzilla one.
Like, Tim, I understand you're liberal, but we should probably bully this guy if he's still alive. Hopefully he's not. But if he is, guess.
No, Jonathan Heisman, he's also.
But here's the thing, right? Because, like, justice ensues and it takes place and everything puts itself in place. When I was moving out there, I was probably about 5'9", maybe 130.
And nothing wrong with 5'9". Well,
Jonathan
brother.
Thought he was so big and bad. And a year and a half later, I'm 6'3", ready to rock, coming out of there.
Nobody cares how tall you are, Josh.
So.
I mean, and you too, Tim, while we're at it. Nobody cares about fucking height. You guys go cry during your stupid movies.
Yeah.
Hey, but Jamie, like, she fought for you, bro.
I know.
Appreciate that.
Hey, and
Jenny didn't fight for you.
There's some honor in that. Jenny didn't fight for shit.
I hope Jenny and Jonathan ended up together.
Jenny and Jonathan. Ooh, I like it.
Jenny, what was the last name? Heisman?
Jamie Heisman. Jenny Hall. Jenny Hall and Jonathan Heisman.
So it would be Jenny Heisman. Yeah. Jenny and Jonathan Heisman. And
if karma's a real thing, those two are married.
Yeah, and I hope your kids suck.
You know they do.
I hope they're fucking evil.
Nobody's handing the ball off to a fucking kid named Heisman.
Listen, I don't know, but I hope their kids are fucking colicky and you don't get a moment of rest.
Colicky, yep. Your first 2 years, you're not going to get a wink of sleep.
Yeah, you know, your kid sucks.
Yep.
Hopefully he wears diapers at least fucking five, too.
Hey, Tim, do you have a love lesson you'd like to grace us with tonight, or are we moving on?
I can give you a love lesson.
Let's hear it.
This love lesson is just about knowing when to pick your battles and when to just walk away. Okay, fair enough.
It sounds similar
to say, like, I'm sorry and move on. But this is more about picking your battles with people outside of your marriage, right? When you think you're sticking up for your wife's honor, and it just doesn't go.
Oh, I know where this is expected going. I'm so excited. To go.
We were, I don't know, married for 2 years, maybe at the time, maybe 2 years. Shit, I don't even know. Maybe we may have been dating or engaged. I don't know. I was a captain of the softball team.
You were a captain of the softball team?
I'm an unbelievable softball player.
And how old were you?
We were 23. 22, maybe 23.
Okay, that makes sense. I was thinking high school.
No, I didn't.
If you're captain of the high school fucking softball team, okay. I mean, that would make a lot of sense to me, but
I was the go-to person for my high school tennis team.
All right, you did. Like, I don't know when that became cool, but we'll go with it.
Tim, I want to hear the rest of the story. Feelings hurt.
But no, I just know. Yeah, just tennis has always been cool. So, for you listeners out there, suck a fat one if you don't agree.
There's going to be a lot of people sucking a fat one, Tim.
I'm coaching in the dugout, okay? And my wife is an unbelievably good softball player. Like, her arm is amazing. So when people say like throw like a girl, fuck that. Throw like my wife. So whatever that means, just throw like her. Unbelievable. But she's also so good that I needed somebody to catch her. And in softball, you need a decent catcher at times. And I didn't know where else to put her. I was like, babe, I need a catcher. Do you mind playing catcher? She's like, no, I'll play catcher. It's fine. I'll play catcher. And so she's catching. I'm on the bench. This guy comes up to bat. And he's just a worthless fucking fat piece of shit. Just he's so fat. Like when people say like fat is beautiful, it's because they've given up on life and they're just like, yeah, I'm gonna eat whatever I want. And fatness is just I'm
going to. Tim, if you had to put a name on it, who would it be? Who would you relate this person to?
Oh, like probably like a really early version of like Roseanne Barr, but plus John Goodman.
I thought you said this was a man.
It is, but you remember how disgusting she was when how fat she was? Like, that's what he was like a disgusting fat person. Like, and if you have a disease where like your body produces, I guess, more fat, if that's a thing, like more power to you. But this person, he ate other people for like a hobby, I think. And he crushes this ball and he gets to third base. Great. Awesome. You're fat and you can hit a softball. You're super fun. Next batter comes up and they hit a line drive to the shortstop. Shortstop picks it up, beautiful play on one hop, and goes home with it. And this tub of lard is running home as fast as he can. And my wife's playing catcher. The shortstop just slings a beautiful throw to my wife, who's at home, who's going to tag this guy out. But either he doesn't want to stop or he just can't stop because he's so large and just so much unnecessary fat. And my wife at the last second has to jump out of the way because he's going to bowl her over. And so I'm like, that's inappropriate. Like, that's super inappropriate.
Is
so,
that what you said?
Well,
excuse me, sir. This was super inappropriate of you.
In my mind, that's what I was thinking. So I come out of the dugout with a bat in my hand, and I say, you fat piece of shit. You have to slide it home. Are you that fucking fat that you can't even lay down, which is probably your favorite hobby anyway? And I have a bat in my hand, and my wife is like over against the dugout, kind of shaken up. And the umpire said, whoa, 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 calm down. I'm like, no, you fucking calm down. This fat motherfucker almost hit my wife. And I apologize for the listeners. I'm just telling you what I said. And I was like, this fat motherfucker almost destroyed my wife. He has to slide. Like, that's just garbage. And the umpire said, I'm telling you right now, you need to calm down. And like, I'm walking towards him with a bat in my hand. And then I point the bat at this just globule of a human. And I'm like, you are so disgusting, you fat motherfucker. And then the umpire says, okay, enough. That's your warning. And I drop the bat, and I make this motion with my hands. I cross them, and I thump them very hard against my thigh. Like, I'm thumping, and I want you to see my pelvic area. And I said, listen, motherfucker, I got your warning in my pants. And I keep thumping against my thighs. And at that moment, my wife, who I'm sticking up for, in front of everybody, yells out, oh, sweetie, that doesn't make any sense. And at that moment, I just realized, like, there's a moment in time when you got to take a step back, because the person that you're trying to stick up for, they may not be feeling it, right? And so I ended up getting kicked out of the game. I couldn't even sit in the dugout. I had to go back in the fucking car. And so I'm sitting in our minivan watching the rest of the game in the parking lot. But I don't even know if that's a love lesson, but that's the shit I do for love, right? Like,
so
you're going to come at my wife. I'm going to come at you, bro. Hardcore.
Right. Right. So if I'm hearing you right, you got kicked out of an intramural softball league.
In which he was the coach. He wasn't even playing. His wife was playing catcher, and this motherfucker's in the dugout.
Were you in the dugout?
Yeah, I was in the dugout the whole time. Well, until I came out. Until I came out to voice my opinion. Yeah.
Like, if you're in center field and you come charging in, dude, like that's respectable.
What was the statement? What was the crotch thrust statement again?
I said, I got your warning in my pants.
Is that the I don't know if you guys watch wrestling, but was that the Generation X? No?
No, I don't watch wrestling. I'm more than 12 years old, so.
Like, hey, fuck you. I'm going to throw that. You know what? Those of you who watch wrestling out there, you could appreciate what I'm saying. Because he spelled it out.
Yeah. No, I think Tim did a really good job of explaining what he was doing.
And he explained, like, his wife's like, hey, don't worry about me. I got this shit. Go back to the dugout. You've been all fucking game.
Pretty much.
Because there's no room for you as a starter.
Yeah. And if you didn't know that we were going to go to the next segment, then you listeners out there, I got your warning in my pants.
Pop quiz. Just because you're funny doesn't make you smart. This is trivia we should know.
Okay, once again, we're going to test the intelligence quota of these two gentlemen here. We've got Mike and Tim going up on trivia. We're going to start out with 4 1-point questions, and then I'll have 4 2-point questions, and then we'll have a final round. Everybody ready? Tim's obviously chewing on something. I don't know.
I was just drinking a beer.
Drinking a beer. Okay, here we go.
What is the question?
Okay, Tim, you got first question. You ready?
I don't know. What?
Okay, first question. Which coach is the winningest coach in NFL history?
Winningest coach in NFL history. I feel like it would be Tom Landry because you're a fucking weird Cowboy fan. But it is, for those who don't know, it's Miami Dolphin Don Shula.
Don Shula. Tim gets 1 point.
I would have said Chuck Knox.
Okay, you would have been wrong. Mike,
obviously.
For 1 point, who is the all-time touchdown leader in the NFL?
Jerry Rice.
Wow, quick answer from Mike, and that's correct. 208 touchdowns for Jerry Rice. Okay, Tim, you ready? What is the first element on the periodic table?
Hydrogen.
Hydrogen. Tim gets it for 1 point. Mike?
I would have said peroxide.
Mike, for 1 point, true or false?
Oh, I like true or false.
Lightning is hotter than the sun.
False.
That's true.
I call bullshit.
It's true. Look it up. Okay, we're into the two-point questions. Tim's got a 2-1 lead. Tim, are you ready?
Okay.
What president is... I think he just said, I don't care. What president is on the number two... is on the $2 bill? What president?
Is it Jefferson? Was it? $2 bill is Jefferson?
I can't hear you. You're really far away from the microphone.
I feel like the $2 bill is Jefferson.
Is that your answer?
Okay, fine. Yes.
It is correct. Thomas Jefferson. Also the founder of the University of Virginia. Just a random trivia fact out there. 2 points, Mike. What president is on the half-dollar coin?
That is JFK. But
nice.
Not founder of Stonewall Jackson High School, Virginia. With Jamie Helzberg.
Okay, you're correct. That is John F. Kennedy. So we stand... Again, Tim's got a 1 point lead. Tim,
what?
Name two states smaller than Hawaii.
Hawaii's super small, isn't it?
Yep, and there are exactly three states that are smaller than Hawaii. Name two of them.
Rhode Island and Delaware.
That is correct.
That's exactly who I would have went with.
Anybody know the other state?
Is it Connecticut?
That's correct. That surprised me. Connecticut's smaller than Hawaii.
The other one nobody cares about.
Okay. Mike. Alaska, Texas, and California are the largest states. Which state is number four?
Are we talking population or land size?
Size. It's Alaska, Texas, and California. Which state is number four?
I'll go with Florida.
You're guessing Florida?
Well, hold on. Now that you say it that way, maybe
I'm
not.
I'm just asking. I ask every time.
Let me scan real quick. Yeah, I'll go Florida.
Florida's incorrect. It's Montana. And we're in the final round. So, Tim, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points. Tim has 6. Mike has 1, 2, 3. Mike has 3 points.
Okay, well, so he won, but Tim could suck it.
No, he didn't win.
Well, if he has 6, I have 3, and then it's a 2-point question.
It's not a 2-point question. You get to wager as many as you'd like.
I'll wager 12 points.
You have 3 points.
I don't know what's
you
happening.
Can wager 3
You points. Just said I could wager as much as I'd like.
Tim, Mike has 3, you have 6. How many points would you like to wager?
1,000. I don't feel like I got that many wrong. Can I fall asleep or what?
I don't know. Tim, how many
points? No, I'm here. I'm right here. What the
how
fuck?
How many points
can you hear me? 1,000. It's 6. 1,000.
Mike, how many points would you like to wager?
0.
0?
Okay, 1.
1 point for Mike. Okay. This is the final round question. The topic is alcohol.
Oh, shit.
Still want to wager 1?
2 points.
2?
2 points.
And Tim, are you still at 6?
Of course.
Of course. Okay, the topic is alcohol. Here's your question. You guys have to text it to me.
Okay.
Okay? America has one native spirit or liquor. America has one native spirit. Name it.
Whiskey.
Well, you have to text it to me, Tim.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Well, obviously, I have to go on a different fucking route than whiskey.
I mean, I think bourbon is... Bourbon. I text bourbon.
Text me your answers, please.
That quick?
I text bourbon.
Jeez.
Tim, what are you... Tim, wait, don't answer yet, because you're not going to text me. I know you're not. Mike. Okay, so Mike bet 2 points. Tim bet 6 points. Tim, I have Mike's answer in my phone. Tim, please answer the question. America has one native spirit. What is it?
Bourbon.
bourbon. Is that what you said?
Yeah, bourbon, whiskey, yeah.
That's correct.
Oh.
Bourbon is correct. Tim ends up with 12 points. Mike also answered bourbon for 2 points. So Mike gets 5 points. Tim ends up with 12 points.
Nobody cares about 5
Tim,
points.
You are the winner. Congratulations to you. That's what you get for winning.
Can you never play
I can't wait for Keith to come back. Like, at least get out on right field, bud.
Listen. They made me manage from the dugout. No, listen, they made me manage from the dugout because I hit too many home runs in the game previously.
Oh, okay. They kicked you out for being too good?
Yeah, because apparently if you hit home runs, your glove doesn't work.
Can I get one last addition from everybody on the crew?
No. Listen, I'm going to throw this out here. I'm in Las Vegas right now.
Yep.
If you're in Las Vegas right now, I see you. There's 2 people I don't see in Las Vegas.
Tim and Keith.
Those are the 2.
Listen, are you asking for like final thoughts?
Yes.
And
your final words, Mike.
There was a heavyweight rushing the plate, and she didn't even need you there, Tim.
Wow.
You know why? Because she has personality, bro. You should try to find some of that shit.
And I'll end it by saying Mike and I are going to go out. We're going to find the nearest electronic craps table.
By electronic craps,
go find it. Go fuck yourself. Why don't you go find a person to fuck yourself because you're a piece of shit, and then all of you can go suck a dick.
And on that, here we go.
Tim, what time's your flight get in?
Tim's coming to Vegas. That's good. Hey, let's go win some money, my man.
Hey.
The 3 funniest guys I know would like to put a big thanks out to our sponsor, Hand Drawn Records and Hand Drawn Pressing. The bands that you're hearing on the show, like Exit 380, The Screaming Thieves, Andrew Tinker, Brandon Callie's band, Cutthroat Finches, and Heart of the City are all under the Hand Drawn Records record label. So thanks for the rights to the music, Hand Drawn. This local company based out of Dallas has done a great service to the show, and we really appreciate y'all.